How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
For the record, we have never planted anybody in our church to pretend to be baptized. I am too scared of God to do something like that. Please.
That's Stephen Furtig of Elevation Church, a megachurch in Charlotte, North Carolina. You might have heard about the story in the news there and even nationally have centered on the so-called spontaneous baptisms and how they are achieved according to a playbook of sorts that Elevation Church has been using, and it has been successful in a lot of baptisms. That's the church's pastor, Stephen Furtig, responding in a recent sermon called It Will Happen to some of the media criticism that has been leveled at him and the church. Chris Roseborough joins us here for the first half hour, the second hour of Issues Etc., live this Tuesday afternoon, March the 4th, to give us an update on the spontaneous baptisms at a megachurch in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A little bit later, Dr. James Buescher will be with us. The church is going to be remembering this week third century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas. We will find out who they are in just a little bit here on the program. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be back, Todd.
Give us a little review. How was it that this story of so-called spontaneous baptisms at Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, how did this story begin?
Well, it actually began, there was some coverage by some bloggers, including James Duncan of Anderson University in Anderson, South Carolina, who were analyzing a document that was made available by the folks at Elevation Church and Stephen Furtick on the Sun Stand Still website, and it's called A Spontaneous Baptism How-To Guide. And so in there, it's an actual Word document that you can download, and it explains the entire process of creating miraculous baptisms, and it includes having volunteers sitting in the worship experiences who are in the know as to what's going on, and when told to, will walk through the audience when the pastor says go in order to create excitement and things like that. It's literally a play-by-play handbook made available, still available at the Sun Stand Still website. You can download it right now if you want, that explains how the spontaneous baptisms work. And what happened is that the story ended up going viral and kind of getting into the national media as a result of a local Charlotte affiliate who picked up on this and reported on spontaneous baptisms being not so spontaneous. And it kind of, how should we say, mushroomed from there and has become a very large story.
So, so far, there has been some response to this, but initially the response on the part of Furtick and the congregation was not to, there was the radio station, the local radio television station, offered to do a full interview and post the unedited interview online with Furtig, having him explain, but they declined that. Given your knowledge of Elevation and of Stephen Furtig, was that response at all surprising to you?
No, it wasn't surprising to me. In fact, I've offered interview Stephen Furtick on Fighting for the Faith and give him an opportunity to respond to my criticisms of his Bible twisting and the emphasis of his messages and his particular Bible twisting hermeneutic. And every time I've offered, they've declined the offer. And I've also spoken with former members of the staff of Elevation Church, and their response to me is that Furtick doesn't really like the media, doesn't trust the media, and it would be highly unlikely that he would grant that type of interview. He's not comfortable doing that, and he just does not have any trust of the media, so that's not going to happen.
Near the end of a sermon that he preached on February 22nd called It Will Happen, Furtick did bring up the issue of the media story, and here's part of his response.
Man, when they started talking this week on the news about our baptisms, oh, I got hot. Yes, sir. I got hot. They were saying that we manipulate our baptisms, that we have people planted in the audience who pretend to go be baptized. For the record, we have never planted anybody in our church to pretend to be baptized. I am too scared of God to do something like that. Please, if you want to pick on my house, okay. Okay. But it's different territory when you start picking on people who made a decision to be baptized for Jesus Christ. And to take the fact that we have volunteers who get up and lead the way so people know where to go and to act as if they were pretending to be baptized and to negate the sincere faith decision of precious people who had one of the most meaningful experiences of their life, that's just sick. That's sick.
What's your response there, Chris?
Yeah, the problem is this, is that it really doesn't matter if the people that were in the audience were pretending to be baptized, whether or not they were volunteers who really were going to be baptized, or whether they were just people showing the way. The issue has to do with the fact that there's still a level of manipulation going on there, and he admitted that there are volunteers in the audience. Let me read directly from the Spontaneous Baptism How-To Guide. Here's what it says. 15 people will sit in the worship experience, and they will be the first ones to move when pastor gives the call. Number one, stay in the auditorium and begin moving forward when Pastor Stephen says go. Number two, move intentionally through the highest visibility areas and the longest walk. So here's the idea. Is there's no getting around it. He's admitted that there's volunteers in the audience, and according to the baptism, Spontaneous Baptism Guide, they will move when told to go, and they are to sit in high visibility areas with the longest walk. They're not wearing T-shirts that identify them as staff members of Elevation Church. They just look like ordinary people in the audience. There's nothing about them that would identify them as volunteers who are showing the way. There's nothing that, you know, that at all. And so the fact is that he's actually admitted that there's manipulation going on while denying that there's manipulation going on because he's admitted there's volunteers. And the document itself makes it very clear what their role is. So, you know, I appreciate him, you know, trying to defend himself, but even what he said confirms what's being said.
Now, there's a comparison that has been made. It was recently on our program with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service and of author of Pop Goes Religion and GetReligion.org. He made a comparison with the Billy Graham Crusades. And he said, look, it was well known because they made no attempt to hide it, that during the heyday of the Billy Graham Crusades, there would be staff members, volunteers, local volunteers, who would do the same thing. Now, he said the difference here is that they were very well identified. They wore, I guess, badges that would identify them as volunteers for the crusade. They would walk straight to the front, and then they would station themselves at the foot of the stage as staff members, identifying themselves as staff members in order to receive those who would come down to make their commitment to Jesus or whatever they were calling it in those days. Do you see a difference between the two?
Yeah, I see a big difference. In fact, I hate to say this, I'm old enough to actually have been to a Billy Graham crusade. Anyway, yeah, getting old, it's been a while since he's had those. And I've seen this in action. And what Terry Manley pointed out is absolutely correct. Yes, there were people at the Billy Graham crusades, and often they would be volunteers who would come in with church groups, so they were scattered throughout the stadiums. And, you know, when it came time to, you know, play Just As I Am without a plea, they would actually begin walking down, but you could easily identify them by their clothing and by the badges that they wore, and you knew that they were volunteers, and no sooner would they actually get to the bottom, where all the people were coming, that these volunteers would actually physically turn around and they would face the people in the stadium. So, you know, they would actually kind of be a rallying point for people who wanted prayer and stuff. And this is not, you know, this, what happened at the Billy Graham Crusades, is not what's happening at Elevation Church during their spontaneous baptisms. There's nothing that identifies these people as volunteers, as staff members, or anything of the sort. And, you know, as a result of it, I mean, I think the charge of manipulation stands. I mean, clearly their role, especially when you read, you know, in context, their role in the spontaneous baptism how-to guide is to help really kind of whip up the fervor of the people there so that they would be more inclined to make the decision to come down and be baptized as part of that event in that church service.
Here's the rest of the response that Stephen Furtick gave on February the 22nd in this sermon called It Will Happen to the media criticism of their method of manipulating spontaneous baptisms.
At the same time, I know that this is not the last thing that's going to be said about us unless we put the fire out. Unless we just stop growing. You don't baptize anybody, they won't talk about how you did it. And next time it won't be baptism. We already know that the local media, some of the people are planning other stories. We already know. And so here goes. My friend called me this week. He's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. And he was mad. And he says some non-preacher words. And then he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I don't know, because all throughout all of the media attention, I've been saying, I'm not going to go up there and defend myself. I'm not going to go up there and defend myself. I'm not going to turn this pulpit into a press conference. That's not what this pulpit is for. I said, I don't know. I can't be defensive. And when I hung up the phone with him, I felt like God said, then don't play defense, play offense. And I thought about it for a minute. And God said, shake it back off into the same fire. Feed the fire. So tonight we're going to have a special baptism service at Elevation Church.
All right, Chris, what are your thoughts there with a minute or so before we take our break with you here?
Well, he turned his pulpit into a press conference, even though he said he wasn't doing. That's a classic case of doublespeak. It's very disturbing what he was doing there. I actually reviewed part of that sermon on my program last week. The whole shake the snake thing, he was supposedly preaching through Acts 27 and 28, where Paul is shipwrecked. And after making it to the shore, you know, there was a viper that was driven out by the heat of a fire that, you know, that bit him, attached himself to him. And he literally allegorized the text and basically said that his critics and the people in the media, they're all snakes. And he's giving advice that, if you know, you're like the Apostle Paul, you know, you're going to have snakes that come out and attack you. And what you need to do is do what Paul did and shake the snake into the fire. And I also note here, he's claiming direct revelation from God there. I mean, God's, you know, having conversations with him in his head and giving him the advice to, you know, to like the Apostle Paul, shake the snake into the fire. I mean, this is disturbing on so many levels. I mean, it's hard to even begin to unpack any of them, because the initial thoughts show that what we're dealing with, like I said on the last interview that I was with you guys, we're looking at the rise of a cult leader. That's what we're looking at with Stephen Furtick.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He has a degree in the religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuezetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings. 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Bible isn't about you, it's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, March the 4th, we're getting an update on the spontaneous baptisms at a megachurch in Charlotte, North Carolina. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, before the break, you said something you need to explain to our audience. You said, you know, part of the bigger story here when it comes to Elevation Church and Stephen Furtick, its visionary pastor, is you think we're seeing, in some respects, the rise of a cult leader. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, and what I mean by that is a cult leader in kind of the same brand and same style as somebody like a Joseph Smith of Mormonism. You know, I made the statement publicly today that if things keep going the way they're going at Elevation Church, we're going to talk about elevators. That's what the people at Elevation Church call themselves. We're going to talk about elevators 10 years from now, the way we talk about Mormons, and they are very bold to point out the fact that they are united under one vision, and they say that Elevation is built on the vision that God gave Pastor Stephen, and they will aggressively defend their unity and that vision. And Stephen Furtick, I mean, just in the soundbite that you played there, was literally claiming to be receiving conversational, direct revelation from God in the context, and God giving him the advice to not only allegorize in, you know, the biblical passage that he was teaching about the shipwreck of Paul, but from it find an application regarding his critics. And, you know, this is not just somebody who's hermeneutically messing up a Bible passage here or there, or maybe not rightly understanding a biblical text. We're talking about people at a church united not around Christ, not around the means of grace, not around God's Word, not around the sacraments, but they are united around Stephen Furtick, the visionary, and the vision that they received, that he claims that he had received from God. And that is something completely different than somebody who may have some erroneous doctrines and maybe, you know, not quite understand what a biblical text is about. The dynamic here at Elevation Church is way different. It's something that is so dangerous, it's not even funny. And, you know, their unity and their allegiance are not to Christ. They're to Stephen Furtick and the vision.
Why would anyone want to be baptized at Elevation? And I ask this question with this context here, Chris. The first time that Stephen Furtick came to my attention was, this has got to be 5 years ago at least, when he made the news for saying, you know, this church that I'm starting down here isn't a church for Christians. It's not a church for believers. If you're here to be, you know, taught the Bible or to deepen your understanding of grace, this is not the church for you. You can, you know, there's the door. This is only for unbelievers. This is only... He essentially said, the gospel I preach here isn't for you Christians, it's for people who still need to hear it. So why would you want to be baptized and have pretty much the promise of your visionary pastor that the gospel's not for you anymore after you've made your commitment to Christ?
Well, I think this kind of, he plays on a particular weakness, and I think that's the right way of putting it, within the mainstream of evangelical thinking. And that's this idea that God is somehow, you know, kind of, you know, moving in different places around the world, and you need to find where God is working and God is moving, and then join Him in that movement. This is kind of this is actually the theology of Henry Blackaby, that's still very much alive and well in the mainstream of evangelicalism. So, to the average garden roots, you know, garden variety evangelical, they're going to say, "Wow, look, Pastor Stephen's church is growing. They've got a really cool band, Smoke and Light show, and Stephen Furtick is this guy who's really dynamic." And they'll interpret it as, "Oh, this is the place where God is really moving." And so what happens is it draws people to, you know, like a lighthouse, because they think this is, well, where the next big move of God is. So this kind of plays into that, and it's somewhat fad driven. He's the up-and-coming star. He's the up-and-coming person, and all of this growth is seen as the big, you know, as proof and evidence that this is the place where where God is really moving, and so they want to be a part of it. And so, if they haven't been baptized, they want to be baptized there, because they can say, "Oh, I was baptized when God was moving this, you know, the most at Elevation Church," and things like that. It's partly fad-driven. It's partly based upon his theology that says that, you know, where things are really moving and shaking, that's where the Spirit is really moving, and people want to be a part of it.
Now, there's another aspect to this that I think plays into, you said earlier, it's not just a pastor with a bad hermeneutic or a bad way of approaching, reading, and interpreting the Bible. He has made his career and, in many ways, made that church around what you have called me-centered reading of the Bible. What is it?
Well, yeah, it goes a little bit deeper than that. I originally used to call it narcissistic eisegesis, narcissism being self-love, and then eisegesis, reading something into the text. And we've squished that on my radio program. We call it narcissegesis. That's kind of the short-term parlance for it. But the basic idea is that Stephen Furtick, no joke, every biblical text that he works with, he allegorizes it, even though it's just, you know, oftentimes he does this with historical narratives. He'll allegorize the story and literally read himself into it. And he does it in a way that's absolutely breathtaking, in like the worst possible way. And so it's so bad that, you know, he'll even take a text that's clearly about Jesus, you know, a text that where it says that, and, you know, the prophets long to see what you're seeing. And this is Jesus talking to, you know, the people who are listening to him. And Furtick will take that and make it about himself, that he's the one who the prophets long to see. And their eyes are blessed, their ears are blessed, because they're seeing and hearing the things that they're seeing and hearing at Elevation Church. I mean, it's, let's call a spade here. What we're dealing with here is a manifestation, kind of like a little antichrist. That's what we're dealing with here. We talk about in Lutheran confessions about the office of the papacy being an antichrist. Well, Stephen Furtick is that in a smaller sense, because he doesn't have as broad of a reach as the Pope, but it's the same idea. He is now the visible head of the church. He is the center and focus. His vision is the center and focus rather than Christ. And that's what, in the Bible, is really the right understanding of an antichrist. That's what Furtick really is.
That's a pretty bold statement there.
Yeah, and I stand by it as somebody who's been a careful student of Stephen Furtick, and, you know, and as somebody who's watched his ministry even before it was on the national radar.
What you said earlier when we talked about this, the first time this story came out, that you think that Stephen Furtick has a potential to be bigger than Joel Osteen. Why do you say that?
Because his message resonates with the up-and-coming younger generations. I mean, Joel Osteen, I hate to say it, but he resonates with older folks and folks that are kind of our age, Todd. But when you look at Joel Osteen's message, it's not really resonating with the kids who are in their 20s or in their early 30s. Furtick is literally the guy who's speaking their language and, you know, talking in a way that's appealing to them. As they come into power, as they become like the primary generation and the movers and shakers, it's Furtick who's going to ride that wave to the point where he's going to be more popular than even Joel Osteen.
Here's another aspect that disturbs me, and we see it in the way that Fertig responds to both the media and the criticism that spins out from the media. And that is, you question me, you're questioning God, in essence. And his audience seems to buy that particular line of reasoning. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that was an applause line. I mean, God told me to shake the snake, to throw it into the fire, you know. And, you know, and rather than them walking out and saying, oh my goodness, we've got a cult leader on our hands, they're applauding that as if God really is the one who's speaking to him, as if God's really the one who told him to treat his critics publicly in this way, rather than honestly, you know, just give an interview and address the issue. I mean, the way he's handling it is the polar opposite of the way Billy Graham handled the controversy that came up as a result of the volunteers who were at his crusades who would stand up at the right time and come down. Graham was very forthright about it. He absolutely addressed the topic straight up. Fertig, on the other hand, not only is he defensive, he's playing the direct vision, direct conversation with God card, and in a very real sense, teaching other people that God is on his side and God is against the critics. Very, very different than the way Graham handled it, and the way he's handled it, like I said, is very, very cult leader-like.
Can you explain it to me? Because his personality, his public persona, I can't think of any other word, Chris, than just obnoxious. And I look in from the outside and say, I don't know how people put up with that every week. And yet, apparently, not only do people put up with it, they think it's the best thing that's ever... They think this is as like hearing from an apostle.
Yeah. I can't explain it as far as... you, 'cause for me and for you, it doesn't make any sense. Part of it may be cultural. Part of it might just be, you know, a spiritual delusion that's sent on these people. They do not think critically. And if you challenge Stephen Furtick, they will come out of the woodwork and take you on. I mean, you know, I've for years, you know, had Furtick's, you know, minions, for lack of a better way of putting it, you know, challenge me on social media and in public forums and stuff like that. And they do not get this idea that the Bible is about Jesus. It's not about Fertig. You tell them that, and they have a blank look on their face, or they'll say, well, he does preach about Jesus, and then you point out the fact that he doesn't. You give them example after example after example, and it just doesn't register with them. They honestly believe that they're caught up in the latest movement of God, and Stephen Fertig is the visible center of that vortex, and to question him and to challenge him is to challenge what God is doing, and they'll accuse you of even blasphemy of the Holy Spirit for not believing that God is the one talking to and giving the vision to Stephen Fertig. It's an absolutely mind-bogglingly dangerous thing that we're seeing here.
Even if we back off from the issue of whether or not this is becoming a cult and just talk about the sheer manipulation of planting people in the audience who go forward at the call for baptism, giving the impression that they are going forward at the call for baptism, that's a pretty plain and simple way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You made the connection the last time we talked with you with the Great Awakening, the revivals of the past, and Charles Finney, his kind of blatant methods of audience manipulation in order to get conversions. That resulted historically in the United States in spiritually burning over major regions of our country. What is the future if this kind of manipulation continues, not only at Elevation Church, but in many churches who aspire to be like Elevation Church?
That is a great question, and I think the people who are basically the purveyors of these new measures would be wise to actually stop and take a look at the aftermath of what happened with Charles Finney's revival. I mean, you know, his revival methods and stuff like that, where he was promising results, you know, like you couldn't believe. These guys are, you know, the same types of disciples of Charles Finney. The burned over district, you know, where Finney, you know, preached, is a place where the gospel still to this day doesn't take root. And it's not just Stephen Fertig who are using these new measures. It's every seeker driven mega church church plant that employs these exact same measures and these techniques and methodologies. In the short run, it seems super exciting and stuff like that, and it ends up always with people flaming out, and literally it's like putting salt on, you know, on a good field. You're not able to grow crops there for centuries. We're talking about the perfect formula for inoculating people against true biblical Christianity, because after they burn out, or when somebody like, you know, if somebody like Stephen Furtick stumbles or whatever, you know, you've made it so that, you know, in the long run, the gospel will not take root in that area for centuries to come.
Should we decry any kind of this kind of manipulation, this kind of staging, planting, whatever you want to call it, wherever it happens, wherever it is justified in the name of reaching the lost, be it the pastor seeing to it that the music is just right before his sermon or the light show or any of these other things that are subtle manipulations of the emotions and lives of people who go to church? About a minute here, Chris.
Here's the thing. The power that brings somebody to penitent faith in Christ has nothing to do with any manipulation techniques or mood setting or anything like that. The power is the Word of God in the preached gospel for the forgiveness of sins. People are not brought to faith and trust in Christ by their own strength, by their own reason, or by people's manipulation methods. You need to get up and preach law and gospel, sin and grace, repentance, and the forgiveness of sins, and that's the means by which God draws and God gives faith and brings people to penitence. They think that people come to faith in Christ by making a decision under the right circumstances that have been carefully manipulated in the mood. That's not how somebody's brought to faith in Christ. And in fact, I would even say what they're doing isn't making Christians. These are false conversions. And what are they converting to? What are they repenting of? What are they being forgiven for? None of that. This is a completely different religion that we're dealing with altogether.
Chris, you could be talking about Stephen Furtick and Elevation Church tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Not tonight, although he's slated for a discussion later in the week.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time, well, in advance of remembering them in the calendar of the church, third century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas. We'll be talking about them. Dr. James Buescher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Stay tuned. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the Church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.